Welcome to Journal Club for January 11th, 2025. I'm Malcolm Diggs. When you're managing an engineering team, part of your job is to have awkward conversations with your devs every now and then. And there is perhaps no more awkward a conversation than when you have to sit an engineer down and say, "Listen, we've got to talk about your hygiene." "Oh, no, not your personal hygiene. I couldn't care less if you ever bathe. We need to talk about your code hygiene. Because, buddy, you've been submitting pull requests lately that, well, there's no nice way to say this, they smell. They smell terrible." If you've been on either side of this talk before, you know how frustrating a conversation it can be. Because code smells are very real, and they have a tangible impact on your code base, and on your product, and on your timelines, and on the rest of the team, but they're incredibly hard to articulate. Just because you're getting a whiff of something awful doesn't mean you're able to explain what it is, or what the person should do differently. So this kind of conversation can often end in defensiveness and miscommunication. You try to point out something that's wrong with the code base, and all you end up doing is hurting their feelings. Why is it so hard to clearly elucidate this thing that you know instinctively? Well, code smells aren't anti-patterns or failures to adhere to a style guide. They're not objective failures like when you're running a test suite or linting a code base. They are much more subtle than that. Whereas an anti-pattern is a proven, recurring problem with a well-defined negative impact, a code smell is a subtle indication of a potential design issue that might lead to problems if left unaddressed. See the difference? An anti-pattern literally means that you're going against a design pattern. There are rules and you broke them. A code smell is not necessarily a rule break at all. It's just a strong indication that a rule might be getting broken elsewhere. But you don't necessarily know where or how or why, so your feedback isn't particularly constructive. This is a problem that researchers have been studying for decades. They've been trying to devise systems that can root out code smells and flag them and advise on them. There have been deterministic approaches and ML-based approaches as well. Today's paper isn't trying to add to that literature. It's trying to analyze it. This paper is what's called a systematic literature review. In it, the authors comb through dozens and dozens of other papers on this topic spanning over a decade. Then they aggregate and analyze the results to determine what the latest and greatest advances are in this niche. What is the state of the art for smell detection? What are the best tools on the market? What do they do and how do they work? If these authors are able to find that there are credible, effective toolkits for code smells, then that brings us a long way towards eliminating those awkward hygiene conversations once and for all. So let's see what they found. The first thing to know is how they organized the playing field here. As they were combing through the stacks of papers, they realized that the vast majority focused on a couple dozen smells, which fell into six big buckets. Bucket one is the bloaters. These arise when something in your codebase has grown too large to handle gracefully. These smells don't immediately break your system, but instead slowly erode its maintainability. Examples include the long method, where a single function becomes a sprawling labyrinth of logic, and the large class, which is stuffed with so many responsibilities it's hard to tell what the primary purpose is. Another classic bloater is the long parameter list, which is a sign of poor abstraction and requires the caller to juggle too many pieces of data at once. Left unchecked, bloaters bog down your code, making it harder to navigate, extend, or debug. Bucket 2, the object orientation abusers, is all about misusing or misunderstanding the fundamental principles of OOP. This bucket includes smells like switch statements, which might be fine in procedural programming, but can cause friction in OOP because they resist the flexibility and extensibility offered by polymorphism. Similarly, the refused bequest smell arises when a subclass inherits methods and properties from its parent class, but ignores or outright rejects them. These kinds of smells highlight a failure to embrace OOP and often lead to rigid, brittle code. Bucket 3 is the change preventers, which can cause trouble when you try to evolve a code base. These smells make modifications unnecessarily risky or expensive. Take the divergent change smell, where a single class requires changes in multiple unrelated areas for even small updates. Or shotgun surgery, which forces you to make a cascade of changes across numerous classes for a single tweak. These smells create a web of dependencies that turn routine updates into a potential minefield. Bucket 4 is called the dispensables. This is where we find all the unnecessary baggage that your code could and should do without. If you've ever looked at a piece of code and said, "Why is this even here?" that's a dispensable. Duplicated code is a prime example, as it creates a maintenance nightmare. But another common dispensable is the lazy class, which exists but does so little that it fails to justify its presence in the system. Dispensables clutter your code base and make it harder to see what really matters. In bucket 5, the couplers, we have smells that signal unhealthy relationships between classes. Feature envy, for example, arises when a class seems more interested in another class's data or behavior than its own. Inappropriate intimacy is another smell that points to a breach of boundaries where two classes rely on each other's private details far more than they should. These smells make your system more tightly coupled, reducing its modularity, increasing the likelihood that a change in one part is going to ripple through the others. And finally, bucket 6 is the encapsulators, where the issue is that things are all tangled up in the wrong way. Here we find smells like message chains, where one object calls another, which calls another, and so on. This creates a brittle dependency chain. Similarly, the middleman smell arises when a class delegates so much of its responsibility to others that it becomes little more than a pass-through. These kinds of smells weaken the separation of concerns in your system and obscure the logic flow, making your code harder to understand and debug. There are a number of other types of smells in each bucket, but hopefully that gives you the general idea of the kind of issues we're dealing with. Once this initial categorization was done, the authors wanted to go deeper, so they applied the TCM framework, Theory, Context, and Methods, to the papers under review. TCM is a structured approach to review research questions in light of theoretical underpinnings, the context in which they are applied, and the methodologies used. By employing this framework, they identified two dominant approaches to smell detection. Unsurprisingly, those two approaches were machine learning techniques and non-machine learning techniques. Non-ML methods rely on heuristics and metrics like code complexity or size thresholds. They were found in about 3/4 of the studies. The remaining 1/4 of the studies used ML techniques. In total, they identified 87 distinct tools, such as JDeodorant and iPlasma, and compared their effectiveness across multiple dimensions, including accuracy, programming language support, and usability. In addition to performance evaluations, the authors performed a meta-analysis of dataset usage to understand the empirical basis of smell detection. And then finally, the authors conducted a causal analysis to explore interdependencies among smells. For example, they hypothesized that certain smells, like feature envy, could propagate other smells, such as inappropriate intimacy, due to the overlapping structural issues. By mapping these correlations, they proposed something that we all probably already know, that addressing root causes of high-impact smells could mitigate cascading effects, thereby making the codebase more maintainable and robust. This suggests that smell management is not just about fixing individual instances, but about understanding and addressing systemic weaknesses in the software's design. This paper attempts to provide a comprehensive exploration of code smells, not just the categories, but an analysis of their prevalence, the modern detection methods, and their impacts. So, returning to our question from earlier, what is the state of the art? What's the best way to go about detecting smells in your codebase today? Overall, the findings reveal that while non-machine learning techniques dominate current detection strategies, ML techniques like Random Forest and JRIP show significant promise for improving accuracy and scalability. However, there are significant limitations in the existing ecosystem. Particularly, there is currently an over-reliance on Java-centric tools and datasets. So the authors call for greater diversification in both empirical benchmarks and multi-language tool development. For devs, the recommendations are more immediate. They have 5 key suggestions that you can act on today. 1, prioritize addressing high-impact smells early. 2, leverage automated tools where possible. 3, adopt a proactive approach to refactoring. 4, embrace advanced ML techniques when you can. And 5, take the time to explore smells that get less attention, such as encapsulators. Hopefully, you can take these guidelines and run with them. And if you want to dive deeper into their analysis and read the full list of all the smells they chronicled during their study, I'd recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs signing off. See you tomorrow.